Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus. Rocket Mortgage, confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, George Lopez, with Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and a holiday edition of Tales from the Cheap. And now, in preparation for the cruise, he's been cruising West Hollywood all week, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. A choice for the get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, man. Oh, George Lopez coming in. Good. Haven't seen him in a little while. Be interesting to talk to him. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian. Hi, guy. Hi, guy. Okay. Many things in no particular order. First off, can we get past this exchange in life, which is the part where you're talking to somebody on the cell phone and the cell phone starts making an insane sound and then you have to comment on it.
To address it.
Sound like you're in a barrel, was in a mailbox, and you're underwater. What's going on? And you're like, I'm just driving down Ventura. Maybe I'm heading into the canyon here.
Into a wind tunnel?
Well, you know, to me, what it sounded like your skin had been pulled off. And that you were put inside a vat, and that I could hear an echo, where are you?
The only response is, well, I'm still talking to you, so obviously it didn't happen.
I'm in my car, and they're like, well, here's what it sounded like. Sounded like you're at the bottom of the Marianas Trench. And it's like, okay, can we all wrap our minds around the fact that this is a fairly newish technology,
and it's not mastered yet.
Things go wrong, and then when the call drops, oftentimes, it has a sound that obviously is not the person driving into the Snake River Canyon Gorge. It's something electronic.
Yeah.
And do we have to describe to them what it sounded like on our end other than the phone drop? Oh, I'll call you back.
people feel a lot of ownership too over who drops the call.
It's hot potato.
I think your
no,
phone coming
me.
Off
it was, it
there.
Definitely wasn't me.
Your phone coming off.
Yeah, I got 1,000 bars over here. I got 1,000 plus
actually
bars.
Added bars for this call. Huh?
Yeah, a Verizon guy's riding shotguns. Give me a thumbs up.
Yeah,
or whoever that guy is. Yeah. All right,
he's a Sprint guy now.
The other one, I realize is I am I've made myself a grave error in life, and this is a wiring. You guys tell me if you vibe with this at all. Back in the day, when a dude was on the phone, he was on the phone. Like when you walked into a guy's office and he had that phone held up to his ear, you didn't verbalize anything. It was like hands sorry. And then the weird, almost Asian backup move. You know, and I'm backing up while my hands
bowing.
Are up.
Sign of respect.
It's the closest Whitey gets to bowing, a backwards walk. Yep. A moonwalk out of the office. I don't know why you can't turn around and leave, because if you had the meeting of whatever it is you were going to talk about, you would have turned around and left. Like, you would, like, hey, we need more reams of paper. All right, order that. And then you turn around and leave. But if he's on the phone, you back.
The backing does send a signal.
I wish someone could just pull the carpet I was standing on. I'd just slide, slowly slide backwards. But you'd walk in.
Like Homer Simpson into the hedge.
Yes.
And right back in.
And if a guy was on the phone, you'd go like, oh my God. And you just back off. And if he was on the phone that had one of those shoulder harnesses worked into it.
Oh, yeah.
The big, not the squirrel tail. The one was with that. The thing looked like a prosthetic limb. It looked like a polio clutch.
Oh,
it was a half circle that went on your shoulder, and then a gooseneck went up to the phone, and then you just lean over.
It was a weird cradle thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, weird. It was a big-time cradle. It wasn't the foam slipper that was on there. That's what came next.
Okay.
This is a big chunk.
Wow.
This is like you having...
Get with the times, Gina.
It's like
get with 1989 already.
The good news is you won't have to hold the phone up yourself. The bad news is it's going to be like there's a hockey skate welded to the top of your phone, or a polio cane or something, a stroke cane welded to the top of your phone. Like, okay, well, it's inconvenient, but all right. And you tuck it under
hands free.
Yeah.
But if you walked in and that dude was on his phone and he had that thing going, then you backed out of that office. You didn't say a word. Later on, there became the wireless phone, in which case the person was walking around the house, talking
the
cordless. On the phone. They're still on the phone, but now it's about 3/4 of a phone call. It's not a full phone call. No. There's no cord going down. Yeah, the thing with the desk and the lights and the buttons and everything. That guy's on a phone call. This person is on a phone call. It's not a phone call.
Did you guys have the corded phones that were like the extra long phone cord going to the wall?
Yes, it would always get tangled
up
and balled up.
Around the house or walked around whatever.
And if you had it, it had to be in mustard yellow.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that person was on 3/4 of a phone call. Then, as I learned with the cell phones, now you're on half a phone call. I had it happen many times where I'm on the cell phone and like standing at the gas station pumping gas, and the guy come up like, hey, man, show. And I go, I'm on the phone. Okay.
Hey, talking to the juggies?
Tell me, answer this then, just real quick. It's like, that's not half a phone call. It's still a full phone call. I'm just not in my office with that thing stuck to my thing. Now, I have cooked my own goose.
You have those wireless headphones, don't you?
I got those AirPod things that you shove in your ear. Now I'm down to about 13% of a phone call. So because the phone is now in my pocket.
Yeah, right. There's
no
tell.
I'm walking the dog, and if I run into Garagus's wife on the trail, we're having a full blown conversation. I can point at my ear and go, I'm on the phone. She goes, I understood.
Yeah,
but Mark, let me show you some wallpaper. We're thinking about remodeling our place out in Del Mar. And it's like, it has nothing to do with smart or dumb or anything. It's just us as humans. Like that ear, that one single, I just wear the one single one that's the size of half a pack of matches. Is as far away as the giant phone with the cord and the crutch in it and the flashing lights. And for some reason, the phone, the call's exactly the same. You are just simply talking to somebody, perhaps about business, perhaps about leisure, or what have you. Mm-hmm. They could be giving you a cancer diagnosis. It does not matter. There's somebody on the other phone, other line. That has not changed. What has changed is our super casual approach
to being on the phone.
Yeah.
To it.
And does it go both ways? Because that's absolutely true. But the caller, like my mom, when she's on the phone with me on her cell phone, I don't exist. She'll have a full-blown conversation with anybody who walks by.
I think that's the new world order. Like when I'm talking to somebody and I run into Paulette Gergis, who's on the walk, I just give him a heads up. Like, I could hang up and call you back, or you could just listen to me and Paulette Gergis shoot the shit for a second, and then we'll be back to it. So you're just going to hear me asking about the dog for a few seconds, and we'll talk about remods for a second. Like, it's understood. But it is an interesting thing. And it's very weird how we are as humans, how big phone tucked into ear counted as 100%.
Back away.
And now the little ear pod is about, it's about 14% of a phone call.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Less phone, less important.
The other thing, what the hell was I talking about?
Phones.
Oh, I was taking, in my quest to be angry.
It's a short quest.
We are flying out to Miami. We're going on the... cruise and all the good stuff.
We're not flying out together, are you?
Right.
Early flight.
Right. So I purchased myself a first class ticket to Miami from LAX. And I did what I always do with Matt, which is, can you check and see if I can get in that goddamn first class lounge? Because it's always catch as catch can.
Despite the coast to coast ticket.
Yeah.
Please check. I shall check on American. No, you're not. You're not eligible to get in the first class lounge with your first class ticket. Okay.
Send
now, because I'd like to go insane.
Uh-oh.
Tell me flight time, and if you're going to New York, then you're welcomed in to the first class lounge with your
open
first
arms.
Class ticket with open arms. I said, Matt, let's just have some fun. Flight time, LAX to New York, where I would be welcomed into the first class lounge. Time, flight time, LAX, New York, American.
Oh, it only
what
opens
is
at
it?
A certain point.
4:55, 4 hours and 55 minutes is flight time, LA. It's become a theme over here. LA to New York, in which case I'm eligible for a first class lounge. I bought a first class ticket.
Under 5 hours.
I said, tell me LA to Miami. 4 hours, 50 minutes. 5 minutes. 5 minutes less. 5 minutes less. And I'm sure
for
some reason they'll just burn off. We'll probably sit on the tarmac for an extra 5 minutes doing nothing just so I can really go insane. What would be the great harm? And I, the answer, and so here's what people do. Whenever I pose these questions, they go, well, if we open it up to that, then what's to stop someone from buying a ticket from LAX to Long Beach and drinking 80 gallons of top shelf rum? And it's like, don't open it up to that. You know, I didn't say you had to open it up to
you
that.
You can draw
cross
a line.
Country.
When you go across country, let's give it a random thing. Over 4 hours. Mm-hmm. Over 4 hours of travel. Or a first class ticket that is cross country. How about just open it up to
three
that?
Time zones.
Well, and also, if you have a first class ticket, how about none of your beeswax where I'm going? First class ticket for the first class lounge.
Excuse you, young lady.
I know. It's such a retarded, convenient, whatever rule. And for
convenient
anyone
for
who ever got that first class ticket to Miami or even Chicago or Minneapolis or something, when you can't get into the lounge with the first class ticket, it drives you insane. All right. Another thing that's driving me insane in the world of design, there's nothing that bothers me more than bad ergonomics. And
I think there's things that bother you more.
Right now,
here's why.
Nothing.
But here's why.
At this moment.
Oh, no, no. Okay. But there are things that bother me more. What bothers me the most in life are self-inflicted wounds that we have, that I have to, that when I'm driving back last weekend, and I'm driving through Simi Valley, I see the minor accident, pull off to the side of the road. Simi Valley has no traffic. LA is riddled with traffic, and you never see that sign. It's the self-inflicted. Right. Like, come on, they do it over there. They don't have a traffic problem. We don't do it here. Like, why wouldn't we? Right. Why don't we? We can do this. We design this.
Right.
It's our design. So the self-inflicted ones and the ergonomic stuff that is just horrible, horrible ergonomics. And one of the things that's driving me insane, now admit I'm a little old school, I'm a little tactile, but I want a button on a TV set somewhere where I can walk up and turn it off. If I can't find the remote, or if the remote goes dead, or whatever it is, I just want to see a little illuminated button up front or something that I can just push.
Yes, not a lot to ask.
Master on, master off.
If it's along the side, so be it. It should be a different shape. Mm-hmm. It should be separate, and it should be green or red or lit up or something. So, new TVs don't account for that.
They won't be flush and have no buttons anywhere visibly.
Right. But they still do have an on-off button. It's along the side, and it's in a sea of other buttons that are exactly the same.
Yep.
And God help you if you go from antenna A to antenna C by mistake. You'll never make
your way.
You'll never find your way back. Yep. I will never. Once I get off that, I'm completely effed. And I'll tell you what happened in a second. I'll tell you like a perfect storm of this. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Holidays approaching, man. You need LifeLock. Yeah, you want to want a little identity security. I'll give you some tips. Always use a secure internet connection. Be wary of deals that are too good to be true. Avoid phony shopping apps. Identity fraud cost Americans $16 billion with a B dollars in 2016. It's got to be higher as we get to the end of 2017. If you're only monitoring your credit, your identity can still be stolen in ways you may not detect. That's why I have LifeLock. The kids have it. Philly Cheesesteak has it. Lynette has it. If you have a social security number, you need LifeLock. You're going to be doing a lot of shopping online this year, as we know statistically. And why wouldn't you? Save yourself some gas and some time, some effort and some money. You need LifeLock. You're going to be online. You're going to be exposed. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats and alerts you if your info is being used. It's LifeLock. Dawson.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you see more than if you're just monitoring your credit. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock membership. Visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now.
All right. Perfect storm. I am instructed to check on the dog and check on the kids before I go to bed on a Friday night. The dog oftentimes, Phil, sleeps like on top of Natalia and splays out all over the place. But at some point at like 4 a.m. decides he wants to get up and go bug Lynette, you know, and I have to leave the door open. Otherwise, he won't be able to get out. And he'll make a fuss and blah, blah, blah. And Sunday, I'm just going to go check on. I'm going to check on everybody. So check on Natalia and then Phil. They're doing well. Open the door enough. It's a weird little thing. It can't just be a crack because they'll shut it by mistake.
Right.
They'll push
it in.
So open enough. And then I go make my way to Sonny's room. Oh, boy. The TV is on in Sonny's room. And the TV is on in Sonny's room. And the remote is on a shelf that I built him. So I built him a loft. He's on the loft, and the shelf is against the wall in the loft by his head. Okay. As far away from the ladder as humanly possible.
Yeah.
I had a couple glasses of scotch. I'm not a little wobbly,
easy
but
easy night.
Easy night. I'm feeling pretty good about myself at this point. And I'm staring at Sonny and I'm thinking, do I climb up this ladder and then sort of flop my body over the top of his, where I'll surely wake him up, and then grab the remote, which I can see he's dutifully set it on the shelf.
Sure,
but
sunny.
In a very unsunny approach, he fell asleep while the TV was
right.
on.
And you got to find your way back down that ladder.
Yes. So I'm staring at Sonny. I'm staring at the remote. I'm staring at the TV that's on. And I think to myself, I'll just unplug the TV.
No.
First thing I think to myself is I will turn the TV off. And if I can't turn the TV off, I shall unplug it. I'll show you a picture of the TV. It's just sitting on the wall. So you do the thing where you just start. Now it's dark in the room. I don't really want to turn the lights on, but you start feeling along the front. Is there a button I can push along the front? Of course, there's no goddamn button along the front.
It's totally flat and flush.
And then you start feeling along the bottom front.
Yeah.
To see if there's anything along the bottom front.
Yeah.
And there's nothing along the bottom front. And now I look to the side, and on the side, I had to take these. The thing is like an inch and a quarter away from the TV set. The side, and Gary, there's a picture that's pretty close. There is buttons. There's a whole bunch of buttons.
Where those come from?
That don't light up. By the way, nothing jumps off the page like black on black, like flat black on flat black when it's the middle of the goddamn night.
You can tell that there's a flash there, too.
Yeah, there's nothing.
There's nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing. The goddamn power button is the one at the very bottom. Now, I would assume it's probably the one at the very top, maybe the one at the bottom, but nothing's eliminated or illuminated, and there's no way. There's no way to know if you start pushing buttons if that thing's just going to go forever to antenna C land and you'll never see it again. So it's along the side of the thing, and I'm like, look, I could start randomly pushing buttons.
Even more confusing, the power button is not the bottom thing. It's the bottom button, but right below it is an HDMI input, which if you're feeling around in the dark, you're like, oh, this is obviously some middle button.
Yes, USB, Gary says.
Oh, now, USB?
Okay. Either way. Good. I then think to myself, okay, all right, wait a minute. I'm not going to start pushing buttons. That'll screw us up. I, for some reason, power cords in the TV sets plug in the back, too. They used to just be hardwired in the back. I'll just unplug the power cord, and the thing will go dead, and I'll just go to bed. So I pop the cord that's closest to me. It's not the power cord.
It's a weird science situation.
Of course.
You start to bash the thing, and the bat breaks.
And then I pop the next one, and of course that's not the power cord either. And
Sunny comes home the next day, someone trying to steal my TV. Cords everywhere.
At some point I start crawling along the floor and just like but where's the goddamn power button? Why can't we have a power button? What are we doing? And then apologist Ed always does the that's a Philips and they defunct those where, and I went back, no, it's an HG, it's LG. It's an LG, like everybody. And then he goes, yeah, that's an old set. I go, good, this is a brand new set we have at the we're at the warehouse, right. This is a brand new set, come over to this set, show me where it is. It's not anywhere.
No,
there's nowhere. It's nothing on the front. You have to feel along the bottom. If there is one button at the bottom, if you hit that, it doesn't do the power. It just gets you to a place where you can get to the power. What the F?
Thanks, Ed.
What is it? But why? What happened?
Why is that? On no one ever using that.
And then there's this asshole. They figure you're going to use your remote. Yeah, I know they are. I know that's what they figure. But what about when the kid falls asleep? But what if the goddamn thing stuffed between the pillows or something? You just want to go to bed. Can we not? Can we get that?
It does seem practical to keep that prominent.
Did Sunny have nightmares about a prowler?
If you're going to do a sea of miniature buttons on the side, should they all be black?
Yeah,
none
same
be
size,
illuminated,
same shape.
All be the same size and shape, but all in the same cluster. Really? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what you're doing. You're at the shop and you're going, yeah, we're done. This is it. Nobody raises their goddamn hand and goes, this is a horrible design. This will not work. If you're putting this button here so people can shut the TV off manually,
easily,
this is the worst goddamn idea I've ever heard in my life. Mm-hmm. This is a horrible execution of this.
Just make the power button a little bigger or a little squarer or a little whatever.
Illuminated
raised.
Around the ring, yeah.
I find myself...
Easy fix.
I find myself with a soldering iron scarring things up.
Into Sunny's
and
face.
Then I get...
That's hilarious.
That's
it's ultimately
anymore.
His fault.
And or Lynette's nail polish on many things in life because the ergonomics is so bad on them. Like, I had like a space heater that had like five buttons along the top, all the same, none illuminated. One meant oscillate. You know, the other was high and low. The power one was just the same as all the other ones and nothing was illuminated. Why? What is that? Why aren't we a little better? It's 2017. Can we not be a little better at that? So I unplugged everything.
You know, if they have meter fairies to go along, like putting the coins in the meter for people, like the good deeds, you got to go around to people's houses. This is your next show. Go to people's houses and fix up all their buttons.
Start painting with soldering
irons and nails.
But LG, what the hell's wrong with you, tards? Like, why don't you just get your shit together? So the next day, I plugged the TV back in.
Worked just fine?
No, because I've connected the HDMI cables or whatever the cables were. And now there's an order, but I have no idea which one is on the top and which one's on the bottom. Yep. So and there's no room. There's just an inch and a quarter in the back where I can stuff my fingers and barely hold. So I'm standing there as pissed as I can possibly be, trying to stuff the cable to fit it. I get the one in, I get the other one in. Sonny, fire up the set, and it's got that bouncing around, that floating Kong cable thing that's whatever, cable Direct C, antenna, whatever. It's not working. So what do? I flip the order. Does not work. Flip the order back. Does not work. And now I call Ed. I scream for 20 minutes. Why not have a goddamn power button? At least, okay, it's egregious that it's not in front and it's not illuminated. But if you are, it's not illuminated, I should say. If you are going to have one, it cannot be in a sea of other buttons that are exactly the same size that do things you don't want the TV to do. At the opposite of what you're looking for, which is turn this thing off versus switch it to antenna C. And you don't even take the time, and I don't think that's a matter of time, or the money, and it's not amount of money, to just make the thing red.
Yeah.
Or different than the sea of black.
Or just raised a little bit. Or just separated by, an extra inch.
Yeah, even if you put it on the other side, the one button on the other side, that's the on-off button.
Now you're cooking with gas. Yeah.
Just this notion. How many times in America in the last 5 years has someone just dragged their hand along the side of the TV, pushed a button, and it was the wrong button? Mm-hmm. These goddamn Vizios or whatever we have over, it's the same thing. It's just a bunch of buttons along the side. They're all the same button. They're all the same shape. And unless you are one of those Indians who could decipher code.
Put your ear to the ground.
In World War II.
The wind talkers?
Yes, unless you're a wind talker, you'd have no idea what button, because it's not like, well, they always put them at the top or they always put them at the bottom. They just put them wherever. And the answer is, I don't think they care.
Sometimes in the middle-ish, like on your LG.
Okay, I'm angry. George Lopez is here, and we have Tales from the Cheap, and I feel like from watching a lot of his stand-up that he grew up pretty cheap. Mm-hmm. And I think we should put everyone on hold, and we should get Lopez in here, and we should do
judge.
Tales from the Cheap with George Lopez, because I feel like he grew up out here. He led a pretty thrifty life growing up, yes?
And we're also learning there may be a pretty hard out here coming quick, so we should probably take a
break. Oh, he's got to fly. Okay, let me tell you about Simply Safe, getting a good night's sleep. Easier said than done, especially if you hear that noise. Oh, yeah. Can't tell you the amount of times I hear that noise.
Some guy rooting around in your kid's TV.
Rooting around, trying to shut the TV.
Why isn't there
cursing
an on-off switch?
A blue streak. A blue streak. Gary, do we need to take a break? Thanks for being unclear.
We do need to take a break.
But he's got a hard out.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if you want to get him in there now.
I don't know what his hard out is.
I believe it's 2.
Okay. Well, let's bring him in then.
Okay, great.
Let's bring him in. Gary sends me a thing. He's like, you want to take a break or want to bring him in? I'm like, do we need it, Gary? Yeah. All right. Information, important. Where was I? Simply Safe, man. You hear that noise in the middle of the night, man. What are you going to do? Well, I'll tell you what to do. You go with Simply Safe. It's easy. Rest easy. Knowing your home and family are protected with Simply Safe. It's a complete security arsenal with motion sensors and glass break sensors, high-definition security camera, everything you need to keep your family safe. Order it online in just minutes. In a few days, it'll show up at your doorstep. Peel and stick. Everything's up in place. It takes less than an hour. You have 24/7 protection. No hard wiring. No contracts. No hidden fees. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam. Get 10% off. Get going. 2018's coming, man. We need security. SimplySafe.com/Adam. George Lopez in studio trying to fit his cans over his hat.
You're right.
Good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you, brother. Wait a minute.
You got a good head of hair there, Mr. Lopez.
It really does.
With a hat.
Not bad for an old. For a 56-year-old. It's pretty good. 56-year-old guy. All the guys I grew up with that we loved rock and roll. We had mariachi stuff in the house, but we love rock and roll. Ted Nugent, Kiss, Black Oyster Cult. They all had incredible head of hair. They're all bald headed. All of them. They shave their heads, but they're way gone.
Yeah. Pretty awesome.
Brian understands.
And here I am, baby.
Yeah. Also, I feel like that could be the white man's burden. You know, we swing for the fences with the hair down to the waist and the blonde and the flying all over the place. But when you start going bald and the band reforms and you're touring, it gets sad at that point. I feel like the Hispanic guys keep it close. They do choke up and they get a double in the hair department. They get the ball in play and they get a nice stand up double single, but they don't go bald and they keep about the same do from junior high on.
But you know, Adam really knows a lot about the Latino culture.
I believe, but
let me ask you this, because this is a question that I've always wanted to ask. Does it bother a guy in his early 20s, 30s, 40s to be losing his hair? Like, what's the emotion of when you start to look at yourself in the shower and you see it in the thing and it's starting to, you start to get the, like, the islands?
Oh, yeah,
what
like
is a guy,
peak.
What is a guy going through when he's starting to lose his hair at a young age? Like, what does that mean to him?
You guys want me to address this?
Yes.
Yeah. When did you start going bald? Does it hurt? You know, does it hurt you emotionally?
I started going bald at a very early age. I started losing my hair in middle school. So like 13, 14, my hair started to fall out.
Wait a minute.
I'd be doing homework. My book would be in front of me. I'd be like scratching my head and all of a sudden hair all over my book.
Man,
that's serious.
13.
That's the world's worst time.
But that was male pattern baldness in your teens at 13?
I didn't start to balding until, you know, late teens, early 20s. But by that point, it was so. Because it started happening at a young age for me, by the time 20 rolled around, 21, it is what it is.
Yeah, and then it's all. But did you when you looked at your friends and they all had great hair and you'd say, "Come on, man, let's go," but they were still doing their hair.
I'd feel a little jealous, but I also at the same time I'd also see my friends nowadays or 5 years ago who are just starting to like really show thinness, and I'm like, they're not handling it quite so well.
What I appreciate about you is that you have taken it all the way off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all the way down.
The Bozo the Clown thing, the look on the sides.
It's pretty rough.
Where it's a little
fryer.
If I could do one thing for the culture of the male pattern baldness white dude, I'd go around with a clipper with a number two and take everybody down to a number two, and they would immediately look much cooler,
competent.
Hipper, competent,
sexy,
and
thank you.
And there you go.
Because right. You're all correct.
Yeah, I have many thoughts. One is, so what Brian is saying, there's nothing worse than being the star of the football team, and now you're working at a lumber yard, and you got a big belly and whatever, because you think back to your prime and the glory days. Brian never made the team.
Nope.
So he doesn't have anything to think back on. So that's number one.
I don't have glory days.
This water boy is doing okay. Right.
Number two, the guys with the long hair who are balding are like the guys who are wearing a fake Rolex and a big gold chain, and they're driving a Tercel.
We all know.
Like, you want to just go up and go now.
Why don't you know?
You've got to get on the same page. Like, you're not, this is not rock and roll with the big bald spot.
Listen, if you're out there and this, all this stuff is you, like you're in a Tercel driving around and you don't think anybody notices, they do. So whatever that means, wash it, get it detailed, maybe get another car, get a bike.
Yeah.
I don't know. But at that point.
The best move, if I follow this line of thinking of George Lopez, is Get the wall clipper, put it on number two, and just keep
exactly
it clean. No one will judge you. And get a used Prius. No one knows if you're Leonardo DiCaprio or you're painting houses. They don't know. You're just driving a Prius. We have no idea what bracket to put you in.
I love Larry David. I would love to take a wall number two and do a number two to Larry David.
He's already
got
the Prius.
Keep it tight. Just nice and tight.
And if you absolutely cannot abide by that, go full Little Steven and just start wrapping your head with scarves.
Go full Little Steven where, you know, like during the holidays when it's snowing and everybody just throws their scarves in the corner.
Yeah.
That little Stevie corner scarf head wrap look.
Yeah. The
start digging.
But let me tell you this. There was a guy. I'm going to say his. Can I say his real name or should I not say his real name?
By all means.
I don't know. He ranked a number of children.
If you slammed
him
intentionally.
No, he didn't do that. I would have turned him in. No, there was a guy in our junior high and high school, James Barrett. Tall guy, beautiful hair, had all the women. And I didn't have any women. Masturbated incredibly, an incredible amount.
Who knew you'd be a hero today?
Nobody.
Fact that you had the dignity to beat off alone.
You know what my grandmother told me? She found like that towel that you always use, like one towel, because you don't want to just like, one towel. And she told me, I should get that hand towel, that Social Security, as much DNA you put on that.
Oh, man.
That's how much DNA that it should have had his own Social Security number.
Wow.
That was a good one, though.
Wow.
So my grandma was always yelling at me. So this guy, James Barrett, would take all the women. Nobody wanted me. You know that one kid when like you go in the room and the girls pretend like you're a monster and they run from you? That was me. And I was like the monster. Oh, God. So
not Brian Bishop.
Brian had that.
Yeah. So Years later, when the Rams were playing in Anaheim, we'd have been out of school already like 20 years, 15 years, and my friend comes down. He's running down the stands, and he goes, guess who's behind us? Guess who's behind us? I turn around. There's this dude that probably weighs 325, and he's got four beers in one hand and a bunch of nachos in the other hand. Is James Barrett.
Oh, wow.
And we all high-fived each other. We hugged each other. I think we might have kissed with the lips.
Yeah.
And nothing has made me – I've done a lot of great things in my life and my career. Nothing has made me happier than seeing James Barrett weigh 375 pounds.
I know. It's great.
It's the end zone of a Ram game. Loved it.
Yeah, and it's not a coincidence because – these guys, because I went to high school with a lot of these guys. First off, they eat for three because they're the captain of the football team. They're burning calories. They're so busy screwing and throwing touchdown passes. It's a constant, when they're not throwing touchdowns, they're banging cheerleaders. It's a constant burning of calories. That doesn't go away. It's just you get a desk job. So that's number one. Number two, everything comes a little too easily for them. So George grows up. He's got a little fire in his belly.
Yeah, he's got to fight.
He's got this
and
chip.
His towel.
He's got a chip, literally a tortilla chip on his shoulder.
If I had a tortilla chip, it might be a Tostito.
He has a Tostito on his shoulder. He grows up with a Tostito on his shoulder.
He's got salt on it.
Super salty Tostito on his shoulder, and he wants to go out and get some. Like, he's hungry, where these guys are satiated. Yeah. They're even tired from screwing and throwing touchdown passes. So these guys do pack on the weight and do have less success, probably statistically, an easier, more satisfying to find.
Can I tell you a story?
Yes.
I never told this story before. There was a girl, I'm not going to say her name. Her father had an upholstery company in San Fernando, and I've just said her name. She was an amazingly beautiful woman, well endowed, a little Asian looking, fantastic, and everybody was in love with her. And when I was 18, we went to a barbecue, and we were been drinking little wine coolers, and she's like hanging out with me and stuff, you know. So she gives me her number, and she's like, give me a call. This was like 10 years after we got out of high school. But in high school, you know, in about 19, I was hanging out with her, and we went to a party, and one of her friends comes over and says, you know, the only reason that she's with you is like she clowns you. Like, she tells us, like, guess who brought me, you know, like it was a big joke.
Ew.
To her.
Mm-hmm.
And it broke my heart.
Oh, ew. They made a movie about that.
Which one is that?
You mean Carrie?
Mindhunter?
No, they made a movie about those frat parties to see who could like bring the ugliest chick to the pig party or whatever.
What was it called?
It had people you've known in it. It's about 15 years old.
Dog Wars or
something like party. Something like that.
Dog
Town.
Dog
Fight. Dog, it's called Dog Fight, and you would see who could who'd bring the ugliest chick. So there was a weird male.
That's downright evil.
Yeah. So 10 years later, it's good like times. 89.
So you found that out when you were 19 and you're devastated.
So I'm 29 and I'm on Arsenio. Arsenio starts in like May of, he starts in January of 89. May I'm on once, twice. The summer I'm on three times. We have a barbecue at the end of the summer, all the people from high school, and she's there. And she starts talking to me like she doesn't remember what happened.
Of course.
And she goes, can I give you my number? Maybe we can get together. And I go, yes, of course. Give it to me. And she gave me her number, and I walked over to the same guys that laughed at James Barrett and hugged and kissed, and I said, Cindy Coronado.
Oh. Good. All right.
Ooh, I think I just did the so.
We'll fix that.
Yeah.
Man, so I got the number, and the guys were like, what? And I said, I'm gonna bang her, and I'm going to call you from at 6:30 in the morning. I'm going to get her to spend the night. I'm going to call you at 6:30 in the morning. They're like, no, you're not. And she came to see me at a show, and I said, she goes, can you give me a ride home? I said, I thought you had a ride. And she's like, no. And I took her home, and at 6:30, I called that dude in the morning. Called him.
Wow. Man of your word.
Hero.
Hero.
Not all heroes
inspiring
were cake
story.
People.
Never saw her
that.
Again. Never saw her again.
Oh, man.
Well, she's right outside. Come on in.
And she is. Bring her in.
If you want to know how guys are wired, that is best day. Best
day
of your
life. In trouble for that?
I didn't
pull anything out.
I'm happy for you.
Fine. I didn't expose anything.
The restaurant. Let's talk about the restaurant.
Yeah, it's great.
San Manuel Casino.
San Manuel Casino is a great casino. It's like one of the biggest casinos. It's out there off the 15. Everybody loves it.
George Lopez's Chigon Kitchen.
Am I saying that? Listen, Adam, where did you grow up? You grew up in the Valley, right?
North Hollywood.
Man. This is a sad day
it's
in
pitiful.
North Hollywood.
Pitiful.
When a vato from North Hollywood can't say chingon.
Chingon.
Even a Caucasian guy.
Come on.
Chingon.
It's a low
chingon.
Bar.
Chongon. So Chingon.
Wait, what high school did you go to?
I was San Fernando High. Chingon. No. Chingon has a lot of meanings.
I was going to say, that's a bad word.
You were a Tiger?
I was a San Fernando Tiger. Me, yeah. Anthony Davis.
That's right.
Malcolm Moore.
A couple of good ball players came out.
Gary Matthews. A couple guys from the local team.
AD.
AD went there. Oh, that's right.
Charles White.
Charles White went there. That's
did
right.
Heisman.
AD. Yeah. AD. This gives you an idea of the amount of how unbelievably unfair or exposed the NCAA was. I had Cynthia Davis, Anthony Davis' sister, in my class, and our school, our building faced the street of the main school. A Rolls Royce convertible pulls up, and we're like, what the hell is that? It's like the biggest car you've ever seen, convertible. A guy gets out, he's got a bag, and she goes, oh, I'll be right back. Anthony Davis pulls up in a Rolls Royce and brings Cynthia, his sister, her track shoes because she forgot them at home. And he's in college, and he's driving a convertible Corniche Rolls Royce. Allegedly.
That's right.
Alleged.
Anthony Davis won the Heisman. Allegedly. He won the Heisman.
He didn't win the Heisman.
Oh, he should have won the Heisman, but he didn't. And then Charles White came after him and did win.
He was one of back-to-back Heisman with Marcus Allen.
That is correct. Right. And they're all from San Fernando. And San Fernando, in the San Fernando Valley, as the crow flies, in the corner, probably 8 miles away from my high school. North Hollywood. All
about
right,
a billion
so the
miles away when you can't say Chingon. It's 8 miles by the on the maps, but it's a million miles. Culturally, it's a million miles away. You know, you probably just hung out the lamplighter after they've tried to serve the 11-year-olds. Allegedly, they would serve underage people.
What are we serving at the restaurant?
At the restaurant, we are serving. You know, they asked me, did you arrange the menu? All the food is, you know, they got burrito carne asada. They got, al pastor is the one that they cook. It's on the spit that spins.
Yes.
And the guy cuts it, and they're almost like the guy takes a little bit of the pineapple, throws in the air, puts in a tortilla. So it's got all the traditions. It's got grilled the corn that's grilled that will stop your heart. It's got the mayonnaise. And cheese and the powdered chile. It's got the lemon and the butter.
Let me
it's
ask
got
you this. My wife likes the flour tortillas.
Yes.
I like corn tortillas in the soft taco. I don't feel it's as authentic or it doesn't bring the flavor. It's more of just a condom for the food versus an actual part of the food.
And
the corn is a better flavor and it's more authentic.
Let me break the corn and flour down to you,
please.
In my opinion.
Please.
The corn tortilla is the taco, and the flour tortilla is the burrito.
Right.
Boom.
Yeah, there it is.
I said
that's
it. That's it.
We got to get his taco.
Never fold a corn tortilla into make a burrito.
But if you're eating a taco, you make it corn.
It's corn every time.
I have this argument
and
all the time.
There's a lot of different corn. We make the tortillas there fresh.
Oh, good.
And let me tell you, the people that work there, a lot of them are Latinos because, you know, let's face it, we are the hardest working people in the United States. And not only is it not just a job to them, because this is what I love, is that they're proud of the place. They're proud of me, finally. And then they're proud to be working there. You know, when you take a little more pride into your work, you worked for people, you did your own work.
Hardest working, the only people, so I work construction for a million years in the San Fernando Valley, and I pretty much always, the joke was every construction site was 15 Mexicans and 3 racists named Mike.
Right.
That was every construction site I was on. Mm-hmm. And I never worked with black folk, I never work with Jewish folk, I never work with Asian folk, you only work with Hispanics. It's the only folks you work with when you work construction.
Yep.
Couple of white folks whose parents didn't love them, like me and Ray and Chris and guys like that, and the rest, it's all Hispanic all of the time.
There's those stray white dudes, that end up in construction. There's some stray dudes.
Give us your power rankings.
Can I tell you a great construction story?
Yes.
I always had work. I always knew somebody that did some work. There's a couple of great ones. I had a house in Toluca Lake, and out of the corner of my eye, I look and I go, I see something, you know. The dude that was roofing my house fell off the house from the top of the roof onto my grass. He fell off. And I went out there, and he apologized for falling off the roof. That's how hard a Latino works. I said, "Hey, man, are you all right?" He said, "I'm sorry.
I hurt your grass.
I'm sorry.
I dented the grass.
I'm sorry." I said, "Dude, man." He's like, "No me corren. Like, don't fire me." I said, "Are you all right? Are you all right?"
I love
it. He fell off my house and apologized to me.
It's quite an instinct.
There's no better combo than stucco skills and low self-esteem.
Yeah.
Those are the two qualities I'm looking for in a human being.
So in another house in Toluca Lake, there was a guy who was a young Latino guy, and he was had some scissors, and he was cutting like cardboard. You know, kids do the cardboard sure. projects, and he's out there and he's cutting cardboard, and the little guy says to me, hey, mira este, like look at this guy. He was putting, you know, when you round off the top of a fence, you know, you just put a little cement on top and you round it off. So it's
all
not
right,
flat.
Let me slow down with these guys. When you're doing block
What's
work.
What's that? Yeah, block work.
They're doing
cinder blocks.
Yeah, concrete block or cement block. But they're doing block work. And at the top, you take a little type S mortar and you just sort of round like it that. Over so that when it rains, the water doesn't the all sit up there. Right.
That's right. That's right. So he says, look what this guy's doing. He was making a trough for what the mortar that he was going to put on the fence, and he's laughing, and he says what in Spanish, like, what are you
he
doing?
Was making a template.
He was making a template. That's what it's called.
That's right.
So we're laughing at him, and the little guy, Mexican guy, the fence guy, if you need a fence, is the guy. He gets one of the paint buckets. It's got it in it. He looks at it. He's swirling it like this. He gets up on the ladder. He's swirling it. He shoots it. It throws a perfect 8-foot beam of wow. mortar. And he told the guy in Spanish, round it off. Put the scissors back.
I love nice. It. With amazing. The trowel. With the, Can yeah. I ask you a quick food and a Hispanic yeah. question?
Yes.
So I worked with some guys, some born-again gangbangers I worked with, installing closets for million
Reformed,
years.
Reformed, I think they call them. Born again.
Well, these guys were born. I mean, they're religious they found now? Jesus Christ, and they were in the joint.
All right, cool.
And one guy named Philip, his wife made him. He used to share his tortillas with me and his food. His wife would make food. And he gave me a thing. And I said to him, what the hell kind of chicken is this that we're eating? And he said, it's not chicken. I said, what is it? And he said, it's cactus. And I said, oh, it's cactus. It was in a bunch of beef broth and juice and everything. But it was cactus. And I said, as a white guy, I said, where do you buy cactus? And he said, you know, he just pointed at the hills in Burbank. Yeah. He's like, she goes up there and gets
and
it. Now, smash cut to 2017. I got a warehouse. I planted a bunch of cactus in front of it, and I noticed big chunks of it missing. Like, literally, I had a cactus 5 foot tall, got whacked off a foot above the ground. Somebody's cooking up cactus.
It's a farmer's market.
They're eating cactus, right?
It's become the Mexican farmer's market.
They don't have to go the hills anymore. They got the front of my workshop.
And it's even got the little fruit sometimes it grows on. You know, there's the little berries. Cactus
berries. Dios mio.
They ever eating cactus coming up?
Of course, come on. Out there by the back of where the trash cans were. And then, you know, my grandmother, I could see my grandmother taking off the espinas, you know, the pines. And then you would be eating a scrambled egg with cactus with some chile in there. And eventually I would swallow in the middle of my back of my neck would be a cactus.
Tracheotomy?
Thing, yes.
Hold on. If the and person say, who stole my cactus is listening, I hope you choke.
And my grandmother would say, it's good luck, you know, while you're spitting up like.
You're
like,
spitting
you're
blood.
Aspirating
you
through
know,
your throat.
Spit and blood, you know, in the thing. But the Chingon restaurant is some of my favorite stuff.
No needles in the cactus.
No, I don't think we have nombales, but we could. And then it's amazing. The food is incredible, and the prices are reasonable. And really, what can you say? I'm not trying to do tofu. There's vegan and vegetarian and people that don't eat burritos in the bowl, which to me, I'll never understand burrito in a bowl. This isn't a cussing show, but the burrito
it's
in the bowl.
It's not a burrito if it's in a bowl.
That's right. So I don't get the bowl concept.
I don't
so,
get
but
it.
But whatever you are, if you're gluten-free, which again, I think it's a scam. Like, you can't see it. If somebody says to me, I'm gluten-free, you look the same as you did before you were gluten-free. Like, there's nothing, like, if I could say there's water in here, but nobody can bring you a fist of anything and go, this is gluten. Like, I don't believe
well,
it.
Well, let me keep kissing the brown man's ass. I've said a million times.
Brown nosing?
All of the guys I work with, all the Hispanic guys, whenever I would say to them, when I was working with them and where they were working with me later on in life, I'd just go, I'm going on a lunch run. And they go, thanks. And then I'd go get In-N-Out or Taco Bell or Burger King or whatever I got, I would come up. Nobody ever said they were gluten-free. Nobody had any allergies.
Dairy.
Nobody had any requests. Poor working guys magically are free from all the gluten-free and all the problems and all the other. This is a rich man's made-up sport.
Thank you.
I'm allergic to. I have food allergies. I can't tolerate. I can't do. BS. How come every single guy I ever worked with, you would just go on a run, whatever you brought back, you bring back Chinese food, you bring back In-N-Out. It would not matter. They would devour it. They were happy to. There was never any discussion about what they could and couldn't eat.
Look, there's a ton of discussions about what the Mex... You know, the greatest food is whatever you really like. I try to make it as homey and it's comfortable for people to come in and get the food fast. And help. But I'm going to tell you what changed in Southern California. When In-N-Out started putting the burgers in lettuce.
Mm. Animal style.
This is a, you can't cuss on this show.
It's protein.
It changed. It started the change of everything. Mm. It, when you started to not.
That's when we turned the corner. Mm.
Listen, if you can't have a hot dog bun, it's a little bun. You're not, they're not backing up the truck. You're not taking down two loaves of stovetop.
Hey, can I tell you this?
You're
now I'm
a
angry.
Hot dog bun.
I'm angry. Because I got to tell you, this happened to me last week. I'll tell you what's worse. I'll tell you the only part that's worse. Mm-hmm. There's two parts. There's two parts that's worse. Mm-hmm. When you're sitting there and you've decided to eat the Carney's chili dog or the Chicago-style dog, which I love. It's beautiful. It's the best. And it's got all the – you're holding the bun up. Oh. And you're, you're going at it.
It's very erotic.
It's very erotic.
Onions everywhere.
Falling off the side.
And you're enjoying, the hell out of it. And then you see the guy next to you who's pulled the thing out, Kevin Hench, who's on the low-carb thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
He is eating the hot dog with a knife and fork out of
from
the bun.
Yeah.
So
Vinny
now
style.
You're being shamed a little bit. But here's where it gets worse. When you paid for the food.
Oh, well, yeah.
When you buy, and the guy's going gluten, and you buy the burgers, and the guy's pulling apart your burger that you paid $6 for, and he's throwing away 40% of it.
Listen, if you buy, you got to eat what you bought. If your eyes shut or your throat, your tongue increases three sizes, don't let the dude buy then. But whatever you buy, you eat. You don't start... They just made it in the kitchen.
They are disassembling
it. It's gone 10 feet and you're taking it apart.
That's the dish.
I agree.
You buy a new car and then go home and take the wheels off of it. I'll put it back together again.
Drives me nuts.
Something tells me George would be on the same page with you about leftovers and buying.
You got to eat everything that's edible in the fridge.
No, I'm sorry. If you take someone to dinner.
Adam has a policy. If you take someone to your restaurant.
Yeah. This is more of a goof.
Do they take
when I pay, and if they're getting a doggy bag, I always tell them I have to take it home with me.
Yeah, that's you. Anybody knows, everything knows anything about you. Yeah, he does that.
So you grew up in the San Fernando Valley.
Yes.
You grew up poor.
Yeah.
Grandma was around. Tough. Mom, where was mom? Where was dad?
Mom, I never met my father. At 2 months old, he went back to Mexico. I believe that, this is my theory, because all the family's like, don't worry about it. They would say, how come I never met my father? Don't worry about it. I believe that my father came. He was a migrant worker. I believe he came to the United States to work. He was a lazy guy. They said he was lazy. I think he got my mother pregnant. I think he was married in Mexico, and he took off to Mexico. That's what I feel. And I believe that the guy that they say is my father, because I have no pictures of me as a kid or family, that the guy that they said was my father is not my father.
Okay. You don't think?
I don't believe that he is.
Who says
he
it's
looks
your
like
father.
A Chicano, like a Mexican Ray Fiennes? And I'm 234 right now, and I was 234 in the fifth grade, so I haven't gained any
different
weight.
Different build,
yeah, different build, way different.
And who tells you it's your father?
You know, my grandmother and my mom. When I talked to her when I was a little, and then I didn't live with my mom at all. And my grandma was tough. I'm glad my grandma was tough. She kind of prepared me for life. I look back in it, but. You know, it was tough. I wouldn't, my daughter, you know, lives not with me. She's out living somewhere else. And, I help her out financially. And, you know, all I ask for her is to be happy. She goes over her credit card every, but she just went over it right now. She's doing it with it. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something my grandma's never told me. Just be happy. And then if you don't want to be somewhere, then leave.
Well, you know what's weird? If you grow up poor, at least, I don't know if it was always this way historically.
Some people don't have appreciation when they do have success. They become almost not the kind of people you want to be around.
Well, so I grew up poor, and it was like, no, we're not happy. We're poor. How can we be happy? Right. We're poor. And it's like, well, you could still dance, and you could still enjoy things,
dance,
and you can still go on walks. You can go to the beach. You can go to the park. You can throw play catch.
Listen to music. Yeah,
you can enjoy plenty of stuff. They're like, no, we're too busy being poor. Like, it's a thing. I don't know if your family
was that way or
not. They
always say, how much is it? They say, we want to go. How much? Everything was, they didn't know whatever it was. They're having a thing Saturday at the pub. How much is it? That's the first thing. How much is it? Before they even wanted to know if it was safe or what time. Hey, grandma, they're having some bands over there at the church. How much is it? You're like, I don't know. I don't think it's anything. It's not anything. How are they going to be making money if they say it's not anything, stupid? They made you think that it's not anything. You're going to go over there, you're going to have $10, and you have to come back and ask me for $10. That's it. There's a conversation.
Can we get to your taco rankings? It was a lot of controversy.
Yeah, give it to me.
A lot of taco controversy around here.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago, I was... paying so that Kevin Hench could dump his taco meat onto the plate and throw away the tortillas. When we went, I think we went to like Poquito Mas or something like
that. That's a good place.
I said, I did a head count.
Yeah.
we got the ratio screwed up. I had a ranking, and I won't tell you what it is, but it is in any particular order. No better person than George Lopez, especially with the restaurant and everything else. Here are the three you have to choose from.
Yep.
Steak, beef steak, but let's just call it steak.
Mm-hmm.
Pork, carnitas, and chicken. Soft taco, but here's the caveat. It can't be the one place you know that does the amazing whatever way or does it that way. It's just someone's going on a taco run. I'm going on a taco run. You don't know where I'm going. You just know I'm going on a taco run. What can I put you down for? George Lopez.
You put me down for the beef first, the pork, because you don't know it. Somebody might have left it in the sun. Mm-hmm. You don't know how long it'd been out. And never chicken, never fish, never shrimp.
Hero.
Because seafood.
He's a genius hero.
Somebody's making a fish taco, man, and then you're, for the next 12 months, peeing out of your butt. And you can't figure out where you got this parasite, which I saw a dude do that. Beef, because you can burn it. You can eat it raw. You could have half raw.
Still beef.
It's still beef. Pork, you never know. Listen.
All right, but George, let's remove the parasites from the equation.
And the chicken noses.
It's strictly enjoyment now.
Beef. Always beef. Always
genius.
Beef.
Genius.
Because I love the way it tastes, and pork second, but
genius.
Never chicken. You listen.
Why not chicken?
You could do whatever you want to chicken, but I think when you're poor, you want whatever is the best meat, and to me, beef is the best meat.
Okay.
Genius.
Like if they said, having a chicken, we're like, oh, man, what's up? Nobody has any money? Or what?
Bald Bendejo over here says chicken first, but what does he know?
What happened? Who? I thought somebody got paid.
George Lopez,
and
I know.
Chingon Kitchen is amazing. You and I have been friends a long time. And, you know, I don't do podcasts. Is this what this is? Yeah. And I don't really do them, but I'm happy to be here. This was amazing.
Well, we're happy to have you.
The kind of place you could just go for dinner, even if you're not a big gambler.
That's it too. People just go as an appointment. Like,
what
dining.
If you are a big gambler? Can you still go for dinner?
Yes, you can. Okay.
San Manuel Casino, that's in Highland. It's beautiful out there. For more information, you can head out to sanmanuel.com. And also for dates, George is always playing, always doing stand-up. His stand-up is amazing.
Thank
His
you.
Specials are amazing. I just watched his last one, The Wall, live from Washington, D.C. That's available now on HBO Go. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back. We'll do Tales from the Cheap right after this. Hey, kiddies. You dig hearing the sound of my nasally drone? You dig cars? Good. I got something called CarCast, and you can get it free on iTunes, or you can listen to it with the free Adam Carolla app. Also available on Android and iPhone. Go to acecarcast.com for more info. Again, it is me. It's Matt DeAndrea. It is all things cars. It is CarCast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Ace man, dude maintain is the worst thing to yell when you're having sex. Thanks, bud.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah, we's back. Lopez is heading out.
What a nice guy.
Nice guy. I like not too many dudes.
Down to earth.
George Lopez, me, and Dr. Drew are the three dudes who are from here.
Yeah.
And he's, Drew's from Pasadena, which is pretty nice. I'm from just the Valley, which is like, and he's from San Fernando Valley. He's like,
rich man, poor man.
Yeah.
The whole Valley.
All right. Should we play Tales from the Cheap?
Yes.
This guy's been a hole for a million years.
Tune in for more.
All right.
20-year-old Tupperware, homemade clothes, powdered eggs. It's time for Tales from the Cheap.
God, I had a sad flashback Tales from the Cheap flashback, and the, you know, everyone's greatest fear is turning into their parent or grandparent or whatever. Famously, one of my Tales from the Cheap thing was, for my mom and my dad, Tupperware was way out of their range.
Yeah.
Financially.
I took it.
But also spiritually. Because
the name brand. You needed...
Well, why would you... Okay, if you're my dad, and A, you don't basically eat, but when you do eat, here's how you eat. You boil spaghetti in a pot with a handle that's broken off, just the weird nub, the weird bracket with the screw still left in it. You have to use your shirt sleeve to open. You'd boil it in that pot, generic, just plain Ralph's brand spaghetti. And then after you strain it in your plastic colander, you then take ragu out of the container, still cold from the fridge, and dump it on top and stir up. Gary, imagine my dad is cooking. Imagine my dad is cooking. But by the way, imagine he's building or yachting or doing anything.
Assembling, constructing.
Anything. But imagine he's cooking for you. You are 11 and you're forced to live with him. And now he's cooking. Now, why did my dad need Tupperware? Did someone go, oh, Jim, bring some of your world-famous spaghetti to our picnic? He had nothing to offer. In order to necessitate Tupperware, you must first make something.
You have to have something
to
bring.
Oh, no one does deviled eggs the way James Carolla does. You must have something that you make.
Oh, great.
And people must want it. So that got my dad off the list almost immediately.
And he must be invited somewhere and he must go.
Yes, you must be invited. You have to go and you have to make something that people desire. No, no, and hell no. So that's what my dad had going. And then there's the other part. There's a sort of innie outie part. There's, well, you have Tupperware because you constantly go to these events and you take the stuff back to your house. My dad never went to anything. He never brought anything back. So there was never, it's like, hey, the elderly person in the wheelchair, you need a new motorcycle? No, I don't. No, I don't.
Really.
Why not? Don't you like motorcycles?
How do you think I got
here? I'm in my 80s. I'm confined to a wheelchair. But what about a new motorcycle? It's like, I just don't need one. I would never use one. You're saying motorcycles are bad? Like, no, I'm saying I can't use one. So my dad, nothing. My mom did not cook. And did not commingle with others as well
interact
with others in environments that involve food or them bringing food or free food or anything. So she had none of that. So there was no reason. Why would we need to transport food from one place to the next? It never happened. And then my grandfather did do some cooking, and she did show up to the potluck, you know, party at the VA, at the veterans, you know, on Thursday before Christmas or whatever. And she would bring a pot of something that grandpa. So there was some Tupperware in her life, very limited Tupperware, guarded with her life, with her goddamn
had
life.
Had her name written on the bottom,
big
I assume.
Deal. And I always could remember when I became older and I got into my 20s and I was living like an apartment. My grandfather felt that, you know, he felt the pain. Like, this guy's not eating right. He's living on his own. This is horrible. And he'd send me home with some goulash, but it was like he'd be dumping it into the Tupperware and she'd be like, no, Lotsy, no. And she'd be gesturing toward the pickle containers and other things.
Rusted lid.
The weird rusty things. It still smells a little like mayonnaise or pickles or whatever. They dump it into that. But on fast forward to Christmas, Thanksgiving last week.
A couple days ago.
And of course, we'd spent $900 on fixins. And we had way too much stuff. And I can't waste food. And my family doesn't do leftovers.
So out come the mayonnaise jars.
Yeah.
So Megan, our niece, was over, and I guess, I don't know, she's Lynette's niece, and I guess my niece now too. And she showed up on Thanksgiving, and of course, I said, oh, you're going home with food. I cannot waste this food. And she's single and poor and all that stuff, so she took it all home.
Great.
Lo and behold, a couple days later on Saturday, Megadoodle's back at the house. And I said, oh, boy, we got to get through this. And you eat, Sheila, she'll eat it all. And she was doing the, hey, man, as much as you can pile up, I will take it with me. And here's where I slid into grandma mode. Oh, so did you bring the Tupperware back from Thursday night? No, that's still back at the house. Yeah, because we had that Tupperware. Yeah, we just go ahead and load it.
It's kind of our
load it up again.
That's our mega
Now we got a.
Now we got a problem.
We got to give you another.
You got two hands.
You got more tape two paper plates
more
together.
Tupperware, and you have a pretty rich history of not returning.
Called
a pattern, but certainly something's emerging here.
It's an MO.
And the thing that's funny is Lynette always yells, "He's kidding," and I'm like. No, if you brought that home, I'd fill it up for you again.
Kidding.
Take it back.
So what'd you do?
I was like.
You're like, open her hand, dump in the gravy.
You know, I don't care, but next time bring me stuff back.
It's on the ledger.
And it's very, like, very David of you.
She's like, I know. She's like, there's still turkey in it. And I was like, probably could have transferred that into a Ziploc. Okay, all right. And then Lynette again, he's kidding. And I was like, yeah. So, no. Also, she does the same thing when we're like,
tune in for more Tales from the Cheap.
She does the same thing when we're sitting at a table with the couple out to dinner and they go, that the scam. Would you guys like regular water, still water, or bubbly water, sparkly water? And then the person goes, oh, just still water's fine. And they start, okay. Then I go, hold on.
Doesn't mean bottled.
No, no, we don't mean, they just mean when they say, and then Lynette goes, he's just kidding. Okay, and I'm like, I'm not kidding. They think they're getting tap water because they don't care.
If you have very specific thoughts, that's one thing. But if you don't care.
Because there's a lot of people that are like, I'm going to order an IPA. I'll have a glass of water. It'll sit by me the whole time. I might take a hit off it at some point or even dip my fingers into it if I'm, you know, if I'm picking up cheese or something. But I don't want it. Yeah, I don't want to pay. You don't need to do it. No. But they go, they give that money.
Always default to the $4 item.
Right. All right. So should we just hop along?
Yeah.
The,
got a full board here.
Yeah, full phones.
Yeah, I never thought about the necessity for Tupperware. Not just having it, but no reason to ever have it. All right.
Got to need Tupperware to have Tupperware.
God, there'd be so many.
More you know.
It's such a. God.
Rarely do I say something that profound, but sometimes it deserves it.
Every party, my dad would never throw a party. My mom would never throw a party, but my grandmother would throw a party, but it would always be potluck, which is the biggest cop out in the world. Like I go, Trudy Mandel's bringing the casserole and George, he's going to bring the 7-layer dip. And it's like, you farm out and then you pick up the dessert and you're throwing a party, but you farm out every single part of the party.
You're
and
just providing the chairs at that point.
These people,
well, someone brings chairs.
Right.
These people, yes, you've essentially created a hub for everyone else to bring their food for you to
I'm
eat.
I'm providing the ceiling and the roof.
And at some point, these people treated a piece of Pyrex with some lasagna in it or a chafing dish. They treated that like it was a automobile or vacation home. Like, all right, honey, where's the Pyrex? And I said, sweetie, set it down and put it near the front. I don't want it to get lost in the shuffle. Now, I know we've emblazoned our initials in the side of it. And then at some point, there'd be like mid-party thing like, sweetie, check the Pyrex. Check if it's empty, clean it now.
Put it in the car.
I don't want to. Remember last year, we forgot it. We were without it for 9 days. We had to go back. And it's like, who's got the Pyrex? It's like this insane dance of the Pourtards. Like, who's that? Could you imagine? These long-winded, these are people in their 50s. The number one concern is don't leave $4 of container behind.
Yeah.
What could happen? I'll tell you what could happen. We could have a few too many drinks. We could get involved with an engaging conversation.
Each one thinks the other one packed it.
We could forget all about the Pyrex. And the next thing you know, we're all the way in Encino. That's a full 9 miles from here. And then what?
What about next time I want to make a cobbler?
What if the next morning I want to make a cobbler first thing? It's like, okay, I have a solution. Perhaps we could have one more than one Pyrex dish. Yeah. Does that seem insanely lavish to anybody? What if we had two? And that way, if you forgot it over at Helen Gorog's pad, you can double back next week and go pick it up.
You mentioned emblazoning the initials on the bottom. My parents put their bishop on the. This is before the days of Gladware and all the 99 cent. Yes, on the top of where everything bishop on the bottom of everything. I pointed out one of my first smug asshole moments. I was like, "Isn't everyone at this party named Bishop?"
Yeah,
oh, baby bishop,
family reunion.
Shut up.
You know what the Jews do? This is a big thing in for at least the Jews I come from. If you have somebody's casserole dish, when you return it, you don't return it empty. So you have to then return it with something nice in it as a thank you.
Ray would have taken a dump. The old hoffers take a dump in your pirate.
That's a loophole.
Jesus. Sierra?
Hi.
Hi.
Love you.
Hi, guy. 28. Hi. Oh, Nashville. What's going on?
Hi, guy.
Hey, do you eat over at Martin's over there in Nashville?
I'm fresh from Virginia. Originally from LA, but so no, I have not.
Try the brisket.
It's a long answer to yes.
Yes.
Question.
All right, go ahead, Sierra.
You know what? Nashville is a great city.
Everyone loves it. They're very proud of it there too.
My mom is ultimately the ultimate sheep because she hasn't had a home in like 20 years. But when I was young and I was forced to have like Christmas with her or any kind of like holiday, we would go and hang out at the Veterans Hospital or whatever, the VA, and I would have to sit next to him like some old, stinky war veteran. Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah. And to eat free food?
Greatest Generation.
Yeah, Oh, yeah.
Yeah. My mom would do the church spaghetti night, the free spaghetti night down the street at the church and all that kind of stuff. And it was always kind of like, hey, these are real poor people. We're just sort of
making
fake.
That choice.
We're lazy. Yeah. We're lazy poor people, but these are poor people. Yeah, Why do we need to eat their free spaghetti? Yeah. And also, you can't muster a pot of spaghetti at the home, huh?
Yeah, one of the easiest.
A little rich for your blood? Mm-hmm. So, Sierra, you say your mom's been homeless? But you're calling her cheap. We normally think that that has to do with mental issues.
My mom comes from a good family. If she just quit drinking, she would have a place to stay and a nice bed, a down comforter. I mean, hell, if she was willing to give me up to them, I would have a nice place as a child. I would have had a nice place to stay, nice comforter, instead of sleeping in back seats of Lincoln.
It's getting cathartic.
Given to her by my grandmother, so homeless living in a Lincoln.
So, okay. Right. So, your mom had a substance problem. Her parents.
She was a drinker. Cocaine, I was young.
Right. Your grandparents are well off, but they're also like old school, like. Less than zero hard-ass dad, Robert Downey Jr. on the tennis court, explaining to him that he can't come back.
They're super Christian, most forgiving people I've ever met. And they would have taken her back, like, instantly, because that was, they had a religion and they followed it. And if she had to quit drinking, they wouldn't,
And she literally preferred drinking over you, over lifestyle, over a roof overhead. She took the bottle over everything else.
She wanted to drink and have me. I could have gone off and went to private school.
Right.
Grandma would, like, whenever I went to grandma, she'd, like, deck me out in velvet and, like, nice tartan skirts and such. But, I had to have hand-me-down from Goodwill.
So you're insanely resentful about your mom and your upbringing, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. And do you have any relationship with your mom?
Because of my grandmother, I will take calls. But I moved away from Los Angeles because I don't want to spend time with her.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I think I stepped over on my way to Garrigus's office the other day.
Yeah. No, she's in an RV now.
We may have shared a joint in that case over a table that folded out.
We probably fought over a bonfire spot at the beach.
Yeah, she's. I got a friend who lives in Venice. He says there's $3 million houses and people just pull up in vans and just live out of their van in front of your $3 million house, which is awesome.
Satisfy your curiosity.
Yeah, that's my mom. In Northridge.
I was going to say,
oh, no.
I was going to say, is she in West LA?
How could it get worse?
Oh, my God. See, Northridge is no, the reason they move out to Venice is because it's the low is 62 degrees right. and the high is 73 degrees.
That's
and you can just live in that van or that whatever.
Yep.
And you're literally living amongst $5 million yeah. homes in
yeah.
your van.
Waterfront property.
Right, and not paying taxes.
I have another Tales of Cheap for you.
What's that?
You
go ahead.
Another Tales of Cheap for you. So, you know that Target on, I think it's like Balboa and I think it's Nordoff?
Yeah.
That's a deep that Target valley there. Target, yeah.
International.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there is a like a Burger King right there, right? So when yeah. I was a kid, my mom would park in a Target parking lot and she would some point she would get thirsty and she'd like go digging in the vehicle and she'd like pull out like this like crushed like soda, you know, cup. And she'd like, okay, go in, this is the plan. Go in the Burger King.
Get the refills.
Don't make eye contact. Go straight, yes.
Yeah.
Go straight to, thank you for doing that. Go straight to the, you know, counter, hand it over. Just press that button. Just press that button. And, like, it's like a buck.
Yeah,
the soda's a buck.
That same Burger King, by the way, one of my, you know, we all have those cheap stories from the past. Twice a year, they'd run the 99-cent Whopper deal. And when
yeah.
you're poor
load up.
And you get two Whoppers for $2... You're feeling pretty good about
Absolutely.
Yourself. And it was at that Burger King when I used to work out in the San Fernando Valley. So
Jumbo
99
Jack, 99
cents. Yeah.
I remember
two tacos,
when,
99
when
cents.
When the 99 cent Jumbo Jack deal went away and went to $1.29, I was devastated. Oh, 30 more cents.
Adam, I'd love to get your opinion on the psychology of this in the realm of, is this child abuse or isn't it? If you're going to live that way, no one can tell you what to do. Do your thing. But I hate the stories, and I have friends with these stories, like Sierra, of the parents forcing them to do their bidding. You go in, you learn what it's like to
yes.
feel public
yeah.
shame.
I
hate that.
Go over there with Nana, who wears the pastel turtleneck sweaters with the cross outside of the turtleneck, where there's not lots of indoor plumbing, mm-hmm. plenty of safety and insulation. Nice dog.
The promise of privacy.
Flat screen TV
alarm
to
system.
Play with. Go over there. Yes, I've chosen this lifestyle. That's my decision.
And
I can't inflict it on you.
And here's a crumpled cup. You go in there and get embarrassed.
I hate it.
I hate that so much.
Dawson, you have a holiday tale from the Chief?
Oh, God, after that last one, I can't really. I'm not sure what if mine is more depression era thinking that was a carryover, but. I had two sets of grandparents, and they had very, very individual ways of wrapping their presents. They gave us presents, so it's not, you know. But one set of grandparents didn't believe in wrapping paper, so they wouldn't buy anything. So they just
right.
find any box and write your
usable.
Name on it.
Yeah.
There was also the funny page somehow
yeah.
would
oh,
do.
Always.
Yeah. yeah. And right. then my Nana.
My dad did it in the obits.
My sister and my grandmother
kind of
would always.
Cautionary tale.
And. I wonder if any other
Here's
family
your
urn, did this.
Son.
But the wrapping paper that she did wrap your present in, she would take scissors and cut a little bit of that wrapping paper and then write the to and the from.
Oh,
and
sure.
then scotch tape that.
I do that.
Yeah. I can't.
I've done that many
could
times.
Be more, that can't,
very,
that could be
happy.
More necessity.
Forgetful.
It could be more necessity than it is cheap.
That's why
like
I think it's probably
the little
depression
corners.
Era thinking. It's
Forget
not yeah.
the birthday card. That's what
no,
saying.
I don't think it's depression era thinking. I think it's like they don't have
yeah.
I most of all my shortcomings that have to do with cards and wrapping and stuff has nothing to do with money and everything to do with
not being.
I don't have a little thing, okay. a taggy mm-hmm. thing.
Well, I took a note from Nana, and every gift that I give somebody for Christmas, I do it just like Nana did because yeah. it was good enough for her.
Tip of the cap to Nana.
There you go.
All right, so let's talk to Kevin. I'll just go down the line.
These are all good.
Kevin, 44, St. Louis.
Yes.
What's going on?
Hi. How are you?
Good, man. What's happening?
Oh, not much.
How are you doing? Good, not much. How are you doing? Great. What are you up to? Okay, great. What's going on?
I just got a story about my wife's cheap grandma.
Let's hear it.
Okay, we went over to her house for Christmas, and all her cousins were over there, and we're going around opening gifts one by one, and my wife had a gift that had her name and her cousin's name on it. And it turned out to be a day planner that was already a year old.
Wow.
And
wow.
when she asked about it, she said, "Well, you can have it for 6 months, and your cousin can have it for the other 6 months.
Wow.
The wrong year.
Was there some mental illness? Cause
yeah, that's like wrapping the cat box.
Or like the, you know,
This was back around the time the Rams were here, and the Rams were really good.
St. Louis.
And my gift was a roadmap from 1972 that had her name in it, and it was scratched out. It was like one of those those flip books that had like street,
a Thomas
streets
guide
on it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It had roads. There were new roads that weren't even in the map, you know.
It's vintage.
It was,
I don't know. Better or worse than the grab bag at Gabby Ferdy's house with the shrimp diviner my dad got.
At least that has a use. You can't use it, but it has a use.
And we never had shrimp till I was 27. Like, because no one would buy anything by the pound.
But an out-of-date calendar that's already been used that you have to share with someone you don't live with.
How about Vince and Pat Bruno with the card with the nickel for every year you were?
Again, an ostensible use.
Yeah.
Kevin's pretty strong, man.
When I hit 11, I was rolling.
Rolling nickels.
Clover, man. Could have stepped up to a dime at some point.
The greatest part of it was the last gift was for her older cousin that was going into the Air Force Academy. And it got rolled in on a nice coat rack, and it was a brand new leather Rams jacket. And while all the other cousins are sitting there looking at their, you know, basically trash or whatever, the one cousin gets, you know, this really nice, probably $200.
So not
jacket.
Not insane then, right?
Maybe crazy like that sounds even more insane.
The next one, we'll talk to Jerome. Not Jerome, but Jerome. Salt Lake City. We have a ton of stuff in our house.
An envelope for pieces of string.
Oh.
I love it. First, I'll tell you about Stamps.com, man. Holidays, busiest time of the year. Who has time for the post office? You don't need it. You got Stamps.com. That's right. Why go to the post office? Why not use Stamps.com? That's all we use around here is Stamps.com. You can buy and print. Official U.S. postage, any letter, any package, just affix it to that. Any class of mail, using your own computer and printer. Then the mailman just picks it up, send you a digital scale, automatically calculate the exact postage. We use it here for all our shipping, and right now you can enjoy Stamps.com, the special 4-week trial. Plus postage and the digital scale, no long-term commitments. It is stamps.com. Click on the microphone, top of the homepage, type in Adam. That is stamps.com. Enter Adam. Get the deal, no long-term commitments. Get the scale, no lock-in contract. Stamps.com. Enter Adam. I was walking my dog today, and I got outraged. I was livid. Speaking of cheap.
Doesn't sound like you.
Yeah. I was thinking about my grandma, and I was thinking about tools, and I was thinking about Ray, and I was thinking about...
It's a fever dream.
They go hand in hand.
Well, I was thinking about all the times Ray's gotten his tools ripped off, and then every time I said, like, what happened? And he's like, they were in the bed of the truck on Magnolia, and all I did was go into my apartment, go to sleep for 3 days, and when I came out, they were gone! And I'd be like, yeah, you can't leave your tools in the truck on Magnolia, because it's busy, and people steal tools. And Ray's one of these guys had his tools stolen 10 times, and each time wants to know, what the F?
He's outraged.
What the F? And it's like, because that's how it works. That's how they do it. And also, when I was poor, people stole tools. Now, cordless drills are $17.99. They're not really an item that people steal anymore. You can leave your tools around. When I was working, tools were expensive. They get stolen like that. You left anything around, like car stereos or TV sets. They just steal everything.
Car stereo stolen.
Yeah, this was a cordless drill. Was the same as a car stereo that you leave in the wherever, and people snatch it up all over the place. People just stole stuff because it wasn't China and Walmart and stuff wasn't free. Now it's again when a TV when a TV's $2,000. somebody will risk breaking in your house, getting shot by you or bit by your dog for the promise of selling that $2,000 TV for $1,000 or whatever it is. When TV sets are $199, the risk outweighs the reward. And thus, people aren't getting their tools and TV stolen and their cars there like they used to. I had a Gary Porter Cable / Rockwell door planer. This was the greatest. This was the jewel in the crown of the Ace Man. At some point, I'd graduated working for myself into hanging doors. Hanging doors is precision work. It's nice if you can get it. You can charge a little bit more because people can't hang their own doors. But you got to know what you're doing, especially if somebody says, I want a new door. And I want to, that's the tool. It's a door planer. And especially if you're going to, like Brian, if you go, oh, my door shot, or Christy wants a oak door in the house, I want to take out the front door and hang a new door. That takes a lot because the jam is already kind of off and set, and you got to swing it to the existing thing and blah, blah, blah. At a certain point, I was in the door hanging business. I hung 25% of my business was hanging doors. Planers, regular planers, like Makita planers and things like that, they have this barrel in them with two separate blades, and when you go, they go chunk, 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 chunk. Not very good. The Makita, I'm sorry, the Porter Cable one, also made by Rockwell, was the Rolls Royce. It had this fence ran along the length of it. You could adjust it so you could bevel, because when you hang a door, you bevel the door. You bevel the butt side and the strike side, the hinge and the latch. They both have a little bevel on them. You don't know it. The hinge side, so it doesn't pinch. The strike side, because your front door is 1¾ inches thick. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't have a little angle on it to get it to clear, when it does shut, there'll be a half inch of gap.
Right. Okay.
Or a big gap. Yeah. You got to be a little, got to have a little angle. Okay. Not a big angle, little angle. But how do you set that angle?
No clue.
You got to have a fence. You got to have this tool. You can set the depth on it. Mm. It's just a wonderful tool. And if you're hanging doors, you better get one of these tools. Came in a metal box, big metal box. And at the time, and still is, they were like $385 or $400. Big ticket item for a guy who's driving a $1,100 truck. It was literally like that was, you know, half my net worth was this tool. And it was back when I always had a certain pride. And like, I want to get the good stuff. I'll save up. I'll go without, but I'll get the good tools. They feel better in your hand. You can do the job better, blah, blah, blah. I finally bought one. I used to borrow one from Tom Johnson who had one, but I finally bought one for myself. It's a really nice tool. And I lived in an apartment in North Hollywood, and my grandparents lived in a pile of crap in North Hollywood. But they had a kind of a weird front gate door thing, and then it was secure. Inside of that was a tool shed and this, that, and the other. But I could store my tools in Grandpa and Grandma's sort of secured shed. There were literally blocks up the street from where I lived, and then if I had a job, I could come over and grab the tool I needed. Well, a couple of weeks went by, and I got a door-hanging job. And I went over to my grandparents' house, and there it was, Porter Cable, big gray case, that metal handle on it. And I went to grab it, and it was like it was filled with helium.
Light as air.
Oh, and I was like, I had that thing, that feeling you have when you're poor. It's that same feeling you have like when you get the super expensive parking ticket or something like that. Everything's a body blow. And I was like, okay, calm down. It's probably around
here. Cold sweat.
It's got to be around here somewhere. I guess I didn't put it back in the case. Started looking around the tools like it's not here, but it's got to be. I think I used it once. It's brand new. I was like, it's got to be around. It's got to be. Oh, maybe I lent it to Chris or Ray or something. No, they don't have it. Damn it. Where is the case? The case is a brand new case. It's right here. Why would I not put it in the case? And I was like thinking, like, you're pretty lazy, Adam. You're pretty lazy. Maybe you didn't put it in the case. Like, it's a brand new tool. The case is here. I would have put it in the case. What if somebody borrowed it?
Yeah, like, but your internal monologue involves you being lazy.
And it did. Your Corolla, remember? And I was like, but if I would have lent it to my friend Umgad Abu Zamzam, who was capable of hanging door, wow, he would have taken the whole case. Mm-hmm. Why don't we just take it out of the case? Maybe he took it out of the case. No. Where is it? And I was like, ah, damn it. Well, and again, body blow. Like, yeah, the sick. You'd get, yeah, a sick feeling.
How many
feeling
hours do you have to work to just get it out, just to get
sick
another one?
Feeling. And it's like, okay, let me talk to Grandma. Grandma. Yeah?
Do you have my door planner?
Door planner. Is there any, you know, when you're asking people stuff, you know you'll never get the right answer. Oh, your grandfather. Yeah, we were just putting a polish on it. It's right over here. Honey, put down the Brasso. He's here to pick up the, yeah, my dad. Well, he'll do a penetrating lubricant, you know, because Grandpa said if you let it sit too long, it can be moist outside. No, she doesn't know what I'm talking about. You know, and I said, it was in a case that with the tools. I don't know. I have no idea what you're talking about. And I was like, was there anyone back here? Was there a gardener or something? And she's like, no. Oh, yeah, there was this guy. I don't want to call him homeless, but he's kind of hangs around the neighborhood looking for odd jobs. Think he rides like half a 10 speed, you know.
He offered to hang a door just the other day for me.
Yeah. Even worse, because he's a junkie and he's going to sell the thing for $20, you know. And I'm like, yeah, that guy. Yeah. He wanted to know if he could come in and like rake leaves or something for a dollar or something like that. So we let him back here. And I went, that guy stole my Porter Cable door planer. And she's like, yeah, that's what must have happened. Oh, and I'm like, and then I stood there for that pause where normal human beings who have money in the bank and see their grandkids are destitute.
How do we make
that
this part right?
Where they go, where they act like a human being and they go, geez, I feel sort of, he probably stole it. I feel stupid. How much do those things cost? I'll tell you what, we'll go in halvesies or something, or better yet, where do you find them? She just stood there, and I looked at her, and she looked at me, and she went, all right, well, I'm going to head back in and have a sandwich. And I just
thought, see that guy, tell me the head.
This is why they're the worst. That's why my family's the worst, and I never had another one of those things, and that was the end of that. And I was just thinking about that, thinking, is it the opposite of all things that are grandma, right?
Yes.
Nurturing. Oh, sweetie, come here, let me help.
Oh, God, they're so horrible. Jerome?
Yeah, Adam, hello.
33, Salt Lake City. What's going on?
Oh, just listening to you guys talk about all this. I thought it was pretty funny. Like, we didn't even have tools in the house because my mom didn't want us, not even a hammer, because she didn't want us to hang a picture because when we would move, she didn't want us to pay the deposit, you know?
Yeah, I love
that. A little toothpaste over that, huh?
Right.
Oh, that's too much work.
I know.
Anyways, so we used to move around a lot because we never owned a home. And every time we would move, we'd pack up this envelope that was full of string that said, on the envelope it said, pieces of string too small to use.
What?
This is,
That sounds like a poem.
Expired food, too rotten to eat.
That's a Lena Dunham film from the late 90s.
Seriously,
certain
that's not a
you don't
thing.
Keep. You don't keep certain things.
Too sad to
mom's
use.
My mom's got buckets of wheat older than all of us.
I've said it. Don't be in save a nickel mode. You can't be in make a buck mode. I know your mom was never in make a buck mode. You can't be squirreling away pieces of string and go out and find the new startup company and be an angel investor.
Was there a purpose, an intended purpose for the pieces of string? Like, was she going to string them together at some point?
I think she always wanted to maybe stuff a doll for one of her grandkids.
Wait a minute. I got a better theory. Were you guys up on the second floor? I've seen enough prison movies where they take the bed sheets.
It's a matter of time.
That's how they get out.
That's how they get out.
That's right.
Thanks, Jerome. The horrible part about being the super poor people is the insane brainwashing that takes place.
Yes,
because
indoctrinating.
My dad couldn't go, hey, I'm a loser, I'm a super cheap fuck, and pray you don't turn out like me.
Right.
He'd say to me stuff like, this is a quarter. This is a lot of money. Like, you understand how much money this is. And my
mom, do you know what this is worth?
My mom would be
pennies?
Like, every time you start the car, it costs money. It's not just the gas. It's oil. It's wear and tear. Like, I wish they'd just go, we're colossal losers. Don't ever listen to us. And now we're going to act in this bizarre, idiosyncratic way that doesn't benefit anybody. But instead, suck you into their world.
Yeah. But for your benefit, we'll leave you out of it. Would have been the decent thing to.
Right. No, instead, it's let's all be nervous over what a quarter's worth or about what it costs to fire up the car in the morning. We will suck you into our horrible, downtrodden cult.
Yep. You'll be a member just like us.
That's right. Max? Yeah, a cult where nobody gets laid and nobody gets to hear any acoustic guitar. It's awesome. Go ahead, Max.
Hello?
Hi, Max.
Hello?
Hey, what's up, Adam, Gina, and Paul?
Yeah, that's what I want out of a guy named Max.
Yeah, what's happening?
I wanted to talk about my incredible Christmas gift of a coin-op laundry machine.
You were given one?
All right, so when I was 14 years old, we went to the laundromat like twice a week. I had a couple of younger brothers. And for Christmas, it was like, hey, you guys aren't getting big gifts because we've got some laundry machine action coming. And it turned out they were coin-op laundry machines.
For your own house?
For our own house.
Oh, in lieu of gifts they bought for the family.
They bought a coin-op.
Oh my god! Like I assume a very heavily used, because those don't really. They're ones at the coin up at the
oh,
place.
They're older
they're
than
decades.
Dirt.
Yeah.
Brian, they were the machines that we had used at the actual laundromat.
Insult to injury.
Wow!
So you're familiar with how they work?
Did you have to punch quarters
we're
into
very
it?
Familiar with them?
Now, my dad says so a quarter's a lot of money. Did you have
okay,
to punch
the
quarter
deal.
In?
My mom pulled. We pulled the buckets out.
Uh huh.
But you had to put quarters in them
right.
to make them work.
We had
a pinball
game. The same ones. Yeah, we had a Space Invaders or a Centipede game in our kitchen. But that was me.
So
by the way, when I had an apartment,
had
I was like, no, we're not going to have a bunch of floozy, flunky stoners standing in our kitchen playing for free.
Yeah,
they could play.
Yeah,
yeah they were banging their girlfriends in here. They're drinking my Schaefer beer. Like, no way. Let them pay.
Yeah.
That's right. And at the end of each month, we'd have a bucket of like $41 in quarters, and we'd go to the mall, buy pot, and go to the food court.
That's just
fast
good business.
Times at Ridgemont
that
High.
Yeah.
That was savvy. Thanks, Max, from Colorado. There's a lot of these people out there. Steve, Indiana, 28.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. Big fan, long time, first time.
Hi, guy.
Mm-hmm. So this story is about my dad. My parents built their house in 93, and they didn't finish the basement. And then they came around in 05 and decided to fully finish the basement. I was maybe a sophomore in high school at the time or so. And my dad, kind of as the final touch, he put a wood-burning stove downstairs in the fireplace. I'm sure, Adam, you probably know what I'm talking about. You know, it's a long, slow, controlled burn. You throw the wood in there, and it helps basically heat that part of the house, right?
Right.
And so he got this bright idea afterward, and he decided, hey, heat rises, right? So I'm going to go ahead and go right up to my bedroom, which is directly above where the wood-burning stove was in the basement, and he cut a hole in the floor that was about a foot by a foot to try to get the heat to come up through. And it didn't work, which just made it even all the more funnier because you know, he put a giant hole in the floor, just like I said, it was probably about a foot by a foot, and my mom was horrified. He didn't even check to see if that was okay or anything like that. And like I said, it didn't work, so... That's kind of my story, and I guess the best part of it is that it wasn't due to lack of resources. My dad's actually a pretty successful guy.
Lengths people will go to
exactly.
You know what I mean?
And
yeah.
You never lost
exactly.
A cat or anything through that hole.
The entire carbon monoxide poisoning or anything. Yeah, it's in a weird way. Well, you don't have to act this poor. No one we people talk a pretty good story about being poor, but as a former poor person, I learned that when you live with these idiots, you are poor and you have to act poor. Later on, I was poor on my own and I didn't need to act poor. Like, I could go out and eat sushi on occasion. I could, if I bought a baseball mitt, I would buy a leather one that wasn't $19 because I'd go, I'm going to keep this for a while. Like, right. I want to break Invest. It in. I want it to be halfway decent, you know? You can do things. You can buy things. You can own, again, like tools. I didn't have money, but I still didn't want crappy tools. So I would just wait a little longer, save a little more, and get a little better tool. You don't have to act poor. And when you act poor, then that's a mindset. And you get downtrodden, and the rest is history. All right, should we do a little bit of news?
Sure.
All right, you get ready for that. I'll tell you about Vikings. History's critically acclaimed series is back. 2-hour season premiere tonight. Tonight, everybody. 9 p.m. on History, Season 5. Let's not miss out. Again, Johnny Rhys-Meyers is joining the cast this year. International superstar Jonathan Rhys-Meyers. This season's full of startling alliances, unbelievable betrayals. The Vikings fight to rule the world. Ivar the Boneless asserts his leadership over the great heathen army. Ragnar's sons plot their next moves. Bjorn follows his destiny into the Mediterranean Sea. This thing is epic, and it is shot amazingly, and I don't know how they do it with budgets these days, but somehow it seems to be unlimited. It's the History Channel. It's Vikings. It's the 2-hour season premiere. That is tonight. That's 9 o'clock. Check it out on History. Vikings. All right, let's do one story.
All right.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Eat news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, whether any of us care or not, this is literally every headline in every news blog on the planet. Prince Harry made it official. Uh-huh. The royal family has officially announced that Harry's engagement to American actress and model Meghan Markle is happening. The two were set up on a blind date. Yep.
Yeah.
I'll explain who she is. The two were set up on a blind date through a mutual friend, and after hitting it off, went camping in Botswana together. Markle appeared as a briefcase girl on the game show Deal or No Deal. And then as Rachel Zane.
Is she really an actress? Like, does she act?
And then she was Rachel Zane on the USA Network show Suits.
Of course she was.
She claims that she was not familiar at all with the royal family, and not surprisingly, he hadn't seen Suits.
I love that part.
So, yeah. This is also.
I love that part.
This is.
It's my Carl Malone's Miss USA winner thought. When she was going to the mall and they said, come meet the mailman, that he was an actual postal carrier.
A 6'9", gigantic black mailman.
With a line going past the food court to get his autograph and picture. Because that's how I don't think she's from this country, so we have incredible reverence for our postal carriers here.
Well, Megan,
I just remember her being interviewed. I thought he was a mailman. He was called the mailman.
I
thought he was an actual mailman. I never buy it, right?
Of course.
She said, yeah, anything she knows about the royal family, she only knows through what Harry has told her. It's a big news also, apparently.
No scandals, I can tell you that much.
She's biracial. People are excited about the diversity that will be added to the royal
family.
I'm
pumped.
She kind of looks like Stacey Dash.
I was looking at her and I was thinking, not hot enough.
For a Deal or No Deal girl?
No.
I don't know. I'm only thinking like...
For royal.
Oh.
Well, Kate Middleton is very pretty, but they're not overly gory. You know, they're very pretty
for
ladies.
For some reason, Kate is much prettier to me than this one. Dawson seems to be following this closely.
I agree with you 100%.
She kind of got this sort of pedestrian, skinny fake with the boob job and the spray on tan or something. She has a very generic spray on biracial. That should be the name of your tanning cream, biracial.
That's right.
She does a kind of generic. Look, there's a certain thing where chicks get all their teeth done and they're just a picket fence of white and they get all the stuff kind of done up. And there's also, it's like, well, you're 25, you know, like, but the, and there's a beauty that kind of transcends. Mm-hmm. Like there's a way seen it in you see it in LA a lot, which is chicks get their hair blown out, straightened out, fixed up, mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. They get their teeth done. Right. So it's like their mouth is just perfect. They get a nice boob job and then they don't eat. Mm-hmm. And then they're 26. And then they get tan. So it's like, okay, you have to look good. Like
there's a baseline.
You are at least a 7 because you've made yourself into a 7 because there's like nothing wrong with you. But that's still different than being beautiful.
Yeah.
Like having a thing. And look, maybe she's got a decent personality. Who cares? No, I'm just saying the pictures I was looking, and Gary's showing me glamour shots of her, but there were pictures I was looking at of her, like, you know, with him the and sort that of kind official, of stuff.
She's in the white coat.
Yeah, and I remember like thinking, look, you know, you get a hold of Grace Kelly.
Oh, sure. Princess of Monaco.
Yeah, that's what you're looking for in the princess department. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying.
Well, and to further that.
And look, maybe he factors in personality. I don't know. One of those guys. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he's gay and he factors in personality. I don't know. That's his choice, bro. But I just remember thinking,
Well, she sort of furthered the potential ruse of not knowing anything about the royal family. Maybe she didn't. Saying that she goes, when my friend set us up, I only had one question for her. I didn't know anything about him or who he was. I just said, is he kind?
Jesus.
Now I'm angry.
Christ.
Yeah.
Is he kind of rich?
Is he kind of
covered in crown jewels?
Is he kind of waiting to take the throne?
Is he kind? First off, nobody sets you up without you figuring out this person's position in life before the line of questions. And kind, what is the biracial part? What is she?
I believe her mother is African American. Her mother's African American. Her dad is white, I believe.
Something weird.
That seems to.
Is that right?
The other way around. It's almost always. Biracial is the white mom with the black dad.
Dad is Caucasian, mother is African.
Yeah. What?
There you go.
Hold on. Yeah, but still. Never see it that direction.
It's much
kinda,
more rare. Yeah.
It's kind of like the transgender thing. It's mostly all dudes going to chick. Yeah. Not so much. It happens.
It happens, but
usually. Wow. All
there
right.
You go.
There you go.
So, she's not going to be a princess, but possible Duchess Meghan is coming your way.
Mother has a master's degree from USC.
Yeah, but it's
all
work. It's super confusing. That doesn't make her a princess.
As soon as I asked,
maybe she's hot enough for a duchess.
Yeah,
she's not a princess.
She's no princess.
Not a princess.
Yeah.
Well, I think Kate Middleton's also a duchess, and he's not even a duke yet. None of this matters.
We should have Dawson review good-looking girls and give them a title. Like, yeah, she could be a duchess.
That's a real gesture.
Yeah. All right, we're bringing it home.
Yes, I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Gina.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
I wonder how you feel about yourself when you're kissed into these positions in life. You know, your royalty, or you marry into it, or whatever.
Yeah. Like, that's just by marriage,
or even him or them. Like, it's really pretty luck of the cosmic draw where your parents are who their parents are, and then you get a title. And I know there's some pride in that. And I know at some point you finish military academy or something, you know, have things to hang your hat on. But I don't know. It feels like mildly. I've always had this thing where the dad goes into business or the son goes into business with the dad and takes over the fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. job, and now he's running the job and or the factory or the business whatever it is. And I guess it's like satisfaction, like, oh, I innovated, I brought computers. My dad did everything on a steno pad. I got everything on the computer, and it's like there's all that, but this is that little part of you that's like your dad started this 41 years ago, and you've kind of
He's passed the torch, but you just drifted into it, and
it's fine. I know you're not beating yourself up, but is there this feeling of a certain certain dissatisfaction of like, this is what I'm forced to do. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they wanted to do or what they thought they could do or their passion was.
Yeah, it's a bit of a cliche, but I really do wonder if it's overall just too much. Would he take regular life to start all over again versus the burden of...
think of their mother.
Yeah, the mother's dead, the scandals.
But herself, she was very painfully shy. She was a complete philanthropist. I mean, obviously, it's easier to sort of make her a saint, you know, after the fact, but she didn't seem to want any of the trappings of the royal lifestyle. She was very private.
Yeah. I remember when my mom was leaving a five-star hotel with her billionaire boyfriend at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Because she said, I want a quiet life.
Yeah, I'm gonna escape from the proper
reason. Right, yeah. Yeah, well, perhaps the guy who owns the 5,000-foot yacht on the French Riviera is the heir to the OPEC nation and makes a kajillion dollars. And maybe don't date him.
Yeah.
Go to El Fayed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're Harry or whoever the other one is.
William,
is there a moment of your life outside of those walls of the palace that is not photographed?
Oh, I don't think so.
I think everywhere you go, you are photographed.
What was Dodi's gig? Was his dad a kajillionaire?
Yeah, absolutely. I know for sure that they own Harrods, the big department store in London, but I think their money came from oil. Let me look.
All right. You don't have to date a kajillionaire if you're a philanthropist who just wants to dig up landmines in Somalia and wants to stay out of...
It's the lifestyle she's grown accustomed to.
All right, well, you don't have to have dinner at 2 a.m. at Michelin-rated restaurants if you're a humble person who doesn't seek the limelight and would like to fly under the radar and simply give back. You don't have to date kajillionaires.
She was the people's princess.
She learned her lesson for next
time. Go to bed at 9 o'clock.
He owned the Hotel Ritz in Paris, Harrods, soccer team. I'm trying to figure out how he got into his...
He's rich. That's all I need to know.
It happened.
There are ways to avoid dating rich guys. My sister's been she put a run together. She's 53 years old. Incredible run she's been on. Streak. I don't want to jinx it.
Yeah, I was going to say.
She should do a TED talk.
I don't want to jinx it, but my mom, my sister, my grandma, these guys, they're a couple of ladies who put together a pretty impressive streak of not dating or marrying anyone who had any money.
You think it's easy? It's not so easy.
Sorry. All right.
He and his brother started a shipping company, and then he quickly diversified his business interests.
I had the feeling it was his. Although, when you start a shipping company...
Yeah, with what?
Yeah, I remember me and Ray started a shipping company out of our apartment in North Hollywood.
It was a garage, you know, thing.
Yeah, we started off with a pretty used fleet. Wow.
I think there's more to that story.
All right, let's bring it home.
We did.
Oh, we did. All right, good. I'll tell you about Geico, man. Everybody's got the to-do list. How about you start your own shipping company and get rich, man? How about it? Marry a princess. Save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. Why don't you do that? You don't even have to leave the house. You just go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Put that extra money in your pocket. Buy a container ship. Why not, man? Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. All right, our pre-cruise event, that's tonight, man. Whoa. Churchill's Pub, Miami.
Tonight.
Miami. 8 o'clock, everybody. Loxy's playing. Dawson's playing. Everyone but me is going to be there.
I should really pack.
Pack and get ready, man.
Come on, Gina.
It's upon us, man. Also, my limited edition t-shirt. Dude, maintain. Crowdmade.com/Adams, where you go. Order yours. They'll arrive in time for Christmas. They got mugs as well and hats as well. Everyone needs a Dude Maintain shirt. Corolla Drinks. Say hi to Lynette over there. Lots of deals, limited time deals over there. So say hi to Lynette at Corolla Drinks. And get some merch, get some buck slips over at the show. All right. So until next time, it's Adam Corolla for George Lopez, Gina Grad, and Paul Bryan. Say mahalo. Well, you could still dance.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail if you like it. 888-634-1744. And get everything you need at adamcarolla.com.